flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hope everybody made it into work safely today. Certainly a somewhat treacherous commute this morning in Metro Detroit. We all made it in at various times, but they even had to delay the Brad Holmes news conference this morning due to the weather conditions out there. And look, you know, this is the guy in charge, this is the guy that builds a roster, and this is the guy who's 5 days into his off season. And I unrealistically wanted much more detailed outline as to the blueprint for what this offseason would be. But of course, you know, he's not.
Can you take me through steps 1 through 15 of the offseason in great detail? Thank you.
Yes. Everybody whose contract is up, who is going to resign? Are you picking up fifth year options? Which free agents will you target? Which free agents in house are you going to let walk? What play? Like, I mean, there's so much there. And I'm like, of course he's not going to get to all that. But I sat down with the expectation that he would. And 5 minutes in, I'm like, what am I, new? I know he's not going to do that, but there was some interesting stuff in there, and this is our guy, right?
He's our guy. Yeah, absolutely, he's our guy. But I wasn't expecting him to say much of anything. It's a season-ending thing, and it's disappointing they lost, and now they've lost coordinators, and they've lost a coach at least, and see how many more coaches they lose. They've got a lot of rebuilding to do from a staff standpoint. From a player standpoint, there's not a whole lot that you have to do. Yeah, there's some questions about, do you bring this guy back? Do you not bring this guy back? Are you looking at a contract for him? And, you know, that kind of stuff. But it's not a ton. So they can go into this offseason, I think, with a pretty clear plan of what's ahead. And that's good to know coming off a really tough loss like they just had. And coming off tough losses to the staff like they've had. So I'm still encouraged absolutely about where this team is at currently and where they're going to go, because it's an offseason where they can add through trade and free agency and the draft, and they will.
There was, and I'm one of the big questions, of course, and you brought it up, and you've been in favor of it. What did you make of his answer when that was brought up, you know, F them picks? Or is there a chance
you'll go after? I didn't hear the answer for that.
Well, we're going to replay it as soon as we can turn it around. As we've said on a couple of occasions, there's a station renovation going on out in the office, and things are a little bit slower than we would like, but we would like to play it back. He sounded noncommittal to it. He basically said, you know, and I thought as he was piecing things together, he doesn't think of the Detroit Lions under his regime of having a window. He doesn't look at it that way. He looks at it as, we built it and now we plan on competing. There's not a window here. We're going to keep competing. But one of the things he cited is that you do that by restocking through the draft. And when the F them picks question came up, he kind of went back to that. And I would not say he said he wouldn't do it. He didn't say he wouldn't do it. But the approach, he did kind of, I think, I personally interpret it as a bit of a warning shot from a, if you're expecting that, maybe you shouldn't, because he really believes the way they sustain this is by continuing to replenish the roster through the draft.
Yeah, I don't think I expect it. It's what I want. You know, there are the differences, and I think the time is right to do it, because you shouldn't have a ton of roster turnover from this 15-2 season until next year's team. I don't think there's going to be a ton of roster turnover. Obviously, there's coaching staff turnover. And knowing that they're getting a bunch of guys back from injury, and you just can't predict injuries other than predict they're going to happen. You don't know who it's going to happen to. You don't know for how long. This past season was ridiculous with the length and term of the injuries and to the caliber of players that it happened to. It was devastating, and we all know it. So if they're getting guys back, again, this roster is a really good roster still in the NFL. I think the time is right to F them picks and go ahead and make a big move. But I can't expect that because it's just, you know, the way that he's going to do things, you still don't really know what Brad Holmes is going to do. He's his own guy. He may have learned at the knee of Les Snead and how things work in LA, but it doesn't mean he's going to do exactly what Les Snead did. I mean, he has completely rehauled this roster from the moment he took over to where they're at now. You know, there's a handful of guys that were on this team prior to that, if that. So they're, and I agree with you about the window thing. I think he's built this to be sustained success. You know, like the Red Wings had 25 years of sustained success. Towards the end, it got a little, okay, now we're a little thin here. And it's almost like what the Steelers have done. Steelers make the playoffs every year. But are they making the playoffs at the cost of, you know, what really needs to happen, which at some point in time you need to say, okay, we have to kind of restock and rebuild a little bit here to take a step back so we can take two steps forward. I kind of think that that's where he would like to be eventually, but you need to win championships to do that, and they're at the embryonic stages of this whole thing. It's exciting.
His point too, I mean, it makes sense. If you really, really value the draft picks and you really think the way you sustain this is by building through the draft, one of the things, F them picks is we're going to sacrifice a bit of our future to win now, which is something that obviously worked in LA. Work with the Rams. They sacrificed a big part of their future, and they did it over and over again by, you know, acquiring Jalen Ramsey and acquiring Von Miller and acquiring Matthew Stafford. And they were like, okay, we're going all in for the here and the now. And they're still competitive. They did win a Super Bowl.
They were really close to advancing in the playoffs.
But the Brad Holmes, it's just interesting to hear him talk. And again, I don't think we should be surprised. One of the reasons why he doesn't believe they're in the concept of a window, that a team has a window to win a championship, is because he probably, and again, this is the way I interpreted it, he's not down with giving up the future draft picks. He's just not as gung-ho to do that. And that keeps the window open, which is great if you get a title. Now, if you don't ever get a title, mm-hmm. then you're talking about the 06 to 2014 Tigers that never got the title. And wasn't for not trying. But, you know, he sounds pretty committed to, look, we're here to stay. This is sustainable. We plan on sustaining it. But and he didn't say he wouldn't do it. But I just thought it was a bit of a lukewarm response to the concept.
I think the worry is with fans and, you know, just media or whoever that question, you know, if he doesn't do the F them picks and goes all in, is you mentioned, you know, the Tigers. That's very, you know, close to home. We saw what happened. If you want to just bring it, you know, to football, look at the Niners. I mean, they have a tremendous roster and zero Super Bowls to show for it. Yep. And they didn't even make the playoffs this year. And I think they'll be back in the playoffs next year, but it's really, really hard to get over that final hump and win it all. And at least the 04 Pistons won it all. They had like five straight Eastern Conference Finals, whatever, but they won it all. So we have that to look at. It's very early with the Lions. I don't want to say very early, but they're right in the middle of it right now. You feel like, hey, they got to win one to make it all worth it, right? Otherwise, yeah, these windows do close.
Well, and whether it does or it doesn't, if you aren't willing, if you never make that move that really tips the scales in your favor and don't win a title, it becomes a bit of a forgettable era. Like it's not the ultimate goal. And again, I want to make this clear. This is how I interpreted his answer. Okay. And he may come out and say, that's not at all what I meant. that, and we'll play it for you a little bit later on as well. 248-539-9797. And he did say, you know, we're committed in any way that we can to improve our roster. But I thought the idea of having no window is very interesting. Like, he does not look at it in those terms. What did you think? Brad Holmes just met with the media, the Detroit Lions GM. And again, a little bit later on, we'll play back some of that for you. Later, we'll touch on the Detroit Pistons. What a win last night in Atlanta, beginning to end, pretty much dominated the Hawks in a game of I would describe that as winning a game in your peer group, a team that's like you, that's trying to grow some roots and compete in the East. Well, Detroit's now in the sixth spot in the playoffs, which is crazy. We'll talk about that team as well. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, whether you're looking for a slick new model vehicle or maybe a reliable pre-owned vehicle, if you're looking for new or used, you got to check out Sarah Chevrolet of Southfield. They've one of the largest inventories in the area, so you're going to find exactly what you're looking for. And the best part, guaranteed credit approval. No matter your credit situation, they've got your back. Sarah Chevrolet of Southfield, they're right there in a perfect location at 696 and Telegraph Road. The giant American flagpoles, you'll see them. Makes it really easy to find out where they're at and to swing by and drive off with your dream car. And if you're short on time, no worries. They'll even bring your new ride right to your doorstep with at-home delivery. And if you're into the latest tech, well, you're going to be glad to know that Sarah Chevrolet of Southfield is one of the top EV dealers in the country, offering cutting-edge electronic vehicles. I should say electric vehicles, not electronic. Electric vehicles, though I'm sure they have some great toy cars you want to drive around too. But the electric vehicles they have, they're setting the standard for the future of driving. And best of all, they're open on Saturdays because they know that weekends are the best time to shop for your next car. Come on by and see why Sarah Chevrolet of Southfield is the place to go for your next vehicle. Together, let's drive.
All right, Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. We are interested to know what you thought of the Brad Holmes news conference this morning, where he didn't exactly lay out the entire blueprint of the offseason, but you got some idea. Feedback coming into the Carson Anderson inbox from an unnamed texter. Holmes has a good pulse on everything that goes down on everything that goes on, from the roster to helping calm fans down. That's from an unnamed texter. I 100% believe Holmes puts us in a position for a Super Bowl next season. It's up to the coaches and players to get it done. It's an unnamed texter. Win the blanking Super Bowl, and I could care less about the years to come. Win the damn thing. F the picks.
Couldn't care less.
Yep. That's from an unnamed texter. Look, he may go out and make an F them picks move. I got the sense in listening to that today that is not, he's kind of lukewarm towards it. And he doesn't see windows. He sees a team that will continue to compete. And if they do continue to compete and win a Super Bowl, that's great, because you're not giving up future assets. Are you not going all in for one season? Well, I mean, the belief was, I'll give you an example how that can work out. The belief was that Buffalo did it last year, had to cut a whole bunch of guys, and here they are still playing. Because they did cut a bunch of guys, but they maintain their level of success. You can do the F them picks thing. You can do the big contracts. You can, and if it, you know, this year's team was good. Let me just state this. Do you think this year's team was good enough to win this Super Bowl this year?
Yep.
So do I. And most of Detroit believed that 1 week ago today. 1 week later, if you're, you know, F the picks, win the damn thing, got it. Except that not only were they good enough a week ago, they were good enough a week ago with reinforcements on the way, significant reinforcements on the way.
Potentially.
You don't think getting everybody back defensively is...
What are you talking about, for this, if they had made it to the Super Bowl?
I'm talking about for next year.
Oh, for next year. Totally. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes. No, I think that's the number one reason why we're all still optimistic about it, is because... they went 15-2 without a ton of guys that are really impact guys. They lost the playoff game, and it sucks. And I think even with the injuries, they had a chance to overcome that again. But yeah, there's no question this team. If you add to the team that played Washington, if you add Ali McNeil, Aiden Hutchinson, and Carlton Davis, just the three players, it makes a massive difference in the game.
Let alone Derek Barnes, yeah. Malcolm Rodriguez.
You're getting the Amik pass Robertson. Rush. You're able to stop the run, right? And you're able to cover receivers a little bit longer. I mean, everything goes with it. Yeah, absolutely. Now, the question is, in the offseason, for the players that you have questions about, I have no question Hutch is coming back healthy. And, you know, McNeil gives reports that maybe he won't be back to start the season. Okay, he'll come back, and maybe he won't be right where you want him to be to start the season, but at some point, hopefully he's back to being 100%. But what do you do with Carlton Davis? Do you re-sign him or not? And Brad Holmes' response was kind of interesting, and that was really kind of non-committal about that, even though he said he thought he played better with the Lions than what he did with Tampa, and he said even Carlton will tell you that. But at the same time, he wasn't committal about bringing him back. So you always have to add to the secondary. Year after year, you got to do it. And do they bring him back and add, or are they looking elsewhere?
Yeah, I got the sense he really likes Carlton Davis and wants to bring him back. But again, he like we've said a bunch, it's not like he was giving away the game plan today.
Yeah, it was a lot of GM speak today, which we expected, right? I mean, a couple years ago, what? They talked about wanting to bring Jamal Williams back and Josh Reynolds, you know, and Jonah Jackson. None of those guys are back, you know? So I think, yeah, he did say, I didn't believe what he said when he says, hey, we got to sit down, evaluate, you know, and talk to the other side and see where we're at and where we want to be at and all that stuff. So they'll figure it out. And I think we all trust Brad to make the right decisions, whether bring back Davis, Zeitler, whoever is available. No one asked about the JMO picking up his option. I'm curious what they do with that. They have time to think about what they want to do with it. Or maybe he already knows what he wants to do with that, but he didn't have to make that decision today. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, this team, if they just get healthy, I wish someone would have asked though, guys, how do you plan for another season where you could have this many injuries, or was this a one-off? You know, like, hey, this never happens. So we're just going to stick to what we do, or do we go, guys, I guess we got to go eight deep on defensive end.
Well, he did say,
I know they have the players, but I mean, real player, as best you can possibly put out there.
He did make the comment about, I don't know who's got a sixth and seventh defensive end. That is, like, we put together a roster and we ended up playing defensive end 6 and 7 in these critical games. And I don't know who's got that. And look, he didn't lean totally into the injuries thing. He did talk about it, but he didn't lean totally into it. And I don't want people to think and interpret this as we recap it here, as he was making an excuse. But he felt like, he felt like he put together a damn good roster capable of winning a Super Bowl. Yeah. And it got absolutely eroded as that year went on. But you know what? Here's the other thing he said. When he feels bad when a player gets injured, he feels bad for the player, not for himself. He goes into what are you going to do about it mode.
Right. Yeah, and he doesn't have time to feel sad for himself. So he's always trying to, like any general manager, every day is a new day to make your roster better. You know, do opportunities present themselves? Do you make do you make your own luck? You're trying to do it. And I thought it was interesting talking about when a general manager uses a term like poach, I think it's interesting, you know, because it's almost like when you say that people poaching coaches off your roster or for your staff, or poaching players off of your practice squad, and that they lost, what, 3 in 1 day and made a deal out of that. I thought it was interesting because the word poach has a negative connotation to it. And it's a way of saying, I think, letting people know that you're not happy about it, but you understand it. And I think that's kind of cool to hear it in that way, because I think we all kind of feel the same way. We don't want to lose our own guys, but when you have success, that's exactly where they're going to look to. You know, if the Detroit Lions, who are one of the best teams in the National Football League, if they've got a you see year in and year out that they keep promoting guys in a practice squad that make plays, guess what's going to happen? Teams are going to start looking at your practice squad to add them to their team.
Feedback coming in. You're looking way too deeply into his first postseason press conference. It's all coach speak. He's not telling you anything meaningful. Of course, he's going to tell you the window hasn't closed. It wasn't that he said the window hasn't closed. He said he doesn't really believe in windows. Like he's
well, I think for him, he doesn't want to put limits on himself in any way possible. And if you say there's a window, then there's a limit. So I think that just makes sense. Probably most GMs would say something like that.
Frank in Fenton says, Brad Holmes' presser, very somber at the beginning, talking about the season and the disappointment. When he got to speaking about the roster and the player development, very much more upbeat. He's very optimistic about the future. All of us fans should follow suit. Go Lions. I think there's great reason to be. I mean, look, we said it on Monday. Nobody wanted to hear it on Monday. But an objective analysis of where this Lions organization is right now, it's in an incredibly healthy place. Everybody's hurting. But an objective look at this roster, the front office, the head coach, it's in a very healthy place. There's work to be done.
There is, but at the same time, does any of what they say take a little bit of a hit? I think Kang may know where I'm going to go with this. With you had the comment to start the season about Levi Anzarike, and it was Dan Campbell's comment. You know, that he's going to be a guy now. You know, the whole thing, and it built it up like Levi Anzarike is ready to become a Pro Bowl player, and clearly that's not the case. So now when I hear a coach or a GM speak glowingly of the production and how much better guys are from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, I'm still taking it with a grain of salt. I'm not buying it hook, line, and sinker like maybe I would have been more susceptible to before. So when he's talking about Christian Mahogany and saying, you know, this guy came in and we thought it's not going to be too big for him and eventually got his chance to play and he looked fine, and talking about Giovanni Manu and how he's developed, and, you know, those guys we don't see. Guy we saw was Terrion Arnold, who definitely, I thought, improved as the season went on.
Well, I do not expect them to be perfect. I don't expect them to get them all right. But we will get to more of this, and again, we'll replay some of the highlights coming up. Next, however, it's the Blitz thingy here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, this new year, be the best you can be by starting out with the best water for your family. This month, CGC Water will save you $1,000 on a Kinetico K5 drinking water system when you bundle it with a Kinetico Premier softener. Call 855-339-4242 or visit cgcwater.com. Remember this, if you're not filtering your water, you are the filter. Do not be the filter in 2025. CGC Water Treatment and Plumbing can also take care of all your plumbing needs. Save 10% off on a Navien tankless water heater from CGC Water. Your authorized independent Kinetico dealer, 855-339-4242. All right, so we'll get to some Pistons stuff coming up as what a win last night in Atlanta. They just blasted the Hawks. That was fun to watch. In the meantime, and it was meaningful. In the meantime, we talked a lot about Brad Holmes' press conference that he held this morning. We'll play some of the highlights of that coming up as soon as we can turn it around. But every Thursday during the football season, we swing around the NFL. Gator heads or tails?
Heads.
It is a tail. I will defer.
Oh, the defer.
Oh, you didn't expect that, Gator?
I was not expecting that.
The okie doke. All right, here we go, guys. Question number one. Yeah, we still got to keep doing this, even though the Lions are out of the playoffs. But, okay. But I'll do it. Okay, question number one. Do the refs favor Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs?
What a way to start. Look, I think he gets some superstar treatment, and I mean, look, he is a superstar, so you would expect some of that. I don't think it's egregious with the treatment that he gets. Obviously, if your team's playing him and you see a play that happens, you're going to fly off the handle, and maybe if we played Kansas City more regularly, we'd say the same thing. But he's the best in the league, and he waits until the last moment for things to happen. He puts himself in tougher situations than maybe most quarterbacks do. So I think some of that is there. He gets calls, but there was actually some data recently that showed up that he doesn't get the calls that you think he gets. It's calls that you watch in games that you watch, but it's not as bad as or nearly as one-sided as you might think.
I would like to see said data because I think he absolutely gets the benefit of the doubt, and I think the Chiefs get the benefit of the doubt, and I think he abuses it. It reminds me a little bit of Trae Young, who didn't bother me as much last night in foul hunting. foul creating, but he does things like he slows down near the sidelines to induce hits near the sidelines that might come with an embellishment. He does get up limping a lot and then miraculously recovers from these hits. He also is the guy that faked running out of bounds, faked a slide near the sideline and took off up the sideline, which makes defensive players, puts handcuffs them on what they could do. Do the refs favor Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs? Absolutely.
I think so too, Doug. I absolutely agree that they flat out just favor them. Now, all the stuff that you just mentioned that Mahomes does, that's not illegal, though. But the part that bothers me is that the refs fall for this crap every time. All right, so even Mahomes admitted on a radio interview this week that, one of those flops, he probably shouldn't have done that because he straight up just flopped on the sidelines. But if you want data, okay, here's the data, guys. Did you know the Chiefs have gone 11 straight playoff games without committing more penalties than their opponents? It's the longest streak by any team in the last 30 years. That's data. They're definitely favoring Mahomes and the Chiefs.
That's just because football team.
Yeah, huh? And it's because they're human, and they know exactly who's on the field and who's not. So I kind of understand it. They know Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league, so they are going to favor him, Kelsey, and the rest of the Chiefs. But, yeah, they favor them. It's annoying, but they do. All right, should the Steelers bring back Russell Wilson?
Only if he takes the same money. Remember, he had that Denver deal where he could sign for $1.2 million in Pittsburgh. And given that at this point with the Steelers organization, they're the only team that's in a full-scale rebuild and still making the playoffs. But they can hand it over to a younger quarterback who also, they got to bring back, Justin Fields. They got to decide to bring him back, but he's going to command more money. And if I'm given my choice of Russell Wilson or Justin Fields that I have to invest in, I'm going with Justin Fields. So no, I would not bring Russell Wilson back unless he'd do it on a similar contract, and I suspect he won't.
Doug, sometimes you say some things that are so stupid that I should shake my head, and then you said what you just said, and I agree with you. They should absolutely bring Justin Fields back, not Russell Wilson. It's look, Russ is fine. He's a good bridge quarterback at this point in his career, but the Steelers need to take a leap forward into the future, and that's with a quarterback they can bank on. Justin Fields has so much talent. If you feel like you've got the right coaches in place, harness that talent, figure it out, and make a new path for yourself with your next quarterback that's going to lead this team for the 6 or 7 years. Justin Fields, I think, is so talented. You can absolutely win with him. The problem is he started his career in Chicago, so that's no good for him.
You guys are both wrong. They don't bring back Justin Fields because they had every opportunity to give Justin Fields, to take over this team. They needed a quarterback that was dynamic to be able to help the offense that was struggling. And for whatever reason, they didn't, and they handed it over to Russell Wilson. Now, I'm not saying Russell Wilson's the answer, but I think he is the perfect type of quarterback, like a bridge quarterback. I think one of you guys just mentioned. He's that gap quarterback. But if he has to be the backup, you could do far worse as a backup. I think he's a team guy, a locker room guy. Yes, the contract's got to be very team-friendly, Doug. But if he's wanting to come back and compete for a job, then I would bring him back. All right, speaking of quarterbacks, will Lamar Jackson ever get over the hump and finally win a Super Bowl?
I think he does. I think he's the most talented player in the league. He's young. You saw him make mistakes in the first half of the game against Buffalo and bounce back in the second half and lead his team back to what should have been a tie game, and he got let down. He got let down by his veteran tight end who dropped a couple of horrific plays. One was a fumble, and the other one was just a two-point conversion at the end that should have put it into overtime. He's great, and I think it's just every year that you go through a failure, you're learning from it, and you grow back stronger. And that Baltimore team is pretty talented. I think they're going to add some more pieces around him and make the team better, and he'll lead that team to the Super Bowl.
Well, look, the safe money here is on no, because you get the field every year. And I guess I would probably bet against any individual winning again and their individual team. But I don't blame him exclusively. It's kind of like Stafford. Yeah, Baltimore is not winning with him at quarterback, but I balk at blaming the best player. His contract is roughly the same percentage of the cap as guys like Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. So winners can be built on that cap number. I think there's other reasons why Baltimore isn't winning, and I don't think it's Lamar Jackson. But if I had to bet, I would bet no, he will never win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I understand your logic, Doug. But if I had to answer, will he ever win a Super Bowl? I think the answer is yes. He's just too damn talented and too good. I feel like it's inevitable. Everyone conveniently forgets that it took Peyton Manning 8 years before he finally won a Super Bowl. He was 3-6 in the playoffs. Lamar Jackson's 28 years old. He's 3-5 in the playoffs, okay? So he still has plenty of time. He's in the prime of his career. He's making amazing plays every single week. He's not perfect, but he might win his third MVP this year. He's that good. I think they just have to get, for whatever reason, I mean, his all-pro tight end dropped a pass to tie the game. His all-pro tight end fumbled the ball in the drive before that could have put a touchdown over. All these things seem to happen to him in the playoffs. It's not all his fault, but I think inevitable, he's going to win at least one, I think. All right, Roger Goodell said this week, hey guys, it's only logical for the league to go to 18 games. We all knew this was coming. But will we see a 20-game season at some point in the NFL?
No, and I hope we don't, because in my view, the quality of the game is what's getting hurt. The NFLPA's needs to put its foot down because it's putting the players at more risk and more danger. They're playing more and more games. They're taking more and more live hits. And it's already, the game is too much of attrition. We said it for years. We just never cared. Now we care a lot about how brutal this game is. And a 17th game, my life has not gotten better because of the 17th game. And I think football has become, you know, just that much more worse because of the 17th game. So I would like to see them go to 16. If they go to 20, though, I would blame the NFLPA for agreeing to it.
Yeah, I agree with Doug almost everything he said there. I don't think they're going to go to 20 games. It is an incredibly violent game. You can make the argument that it's too violent. They need to find ways to make it less violent. Injuries have taken a ridiculous toll on superstar players year in and year out, but when you add more games, you're putting them more at risk. I guess I would be more surprised if they went to 20 as opposed to going back to 16. I could see that happening before they go to 20, but I think 18 is likely the sweet spot for Roger Goodell and the NFL and the players. They're all going to make money off of it, but you know, if the injuries continue the way they go, then maybe they do go back.
Of course we're going to see a 20-game season at some point, guys. The NFL's king. They're greedy. And literally the only thing they don't have compared to the other major sports in this country is the amount of regular season games to maximize their value. They want as much value, as much money as possible. They're just going to eliminate the preseason completely. It's going to be 20 NFL regular season games. And get ready for bad football the first month, because that is their preseason. All right, there was some bad weather this past weekend in the playoff games. Buffalo versus Ravens and the Eagles versus the Rams. Was that awesome or was that dumb?
Well, I lean more towards dumb because I'm not a fan of having the weather decide what's going to happen. But, I mean, the counter to that is real simple. It's a level playing field. Both teams have to play on it. I'm just not a fan of it, which is really what it comes down to. I'm very thankful that the games here at Ford Field are indoors. As a fan, I've been to outdoor games and the weather has sucked, and it's no fun to be there, even if it's a playoff game. Can you imagine if the Lions had played outdoors on Saturday night at home and lost that game in a weather situation? How even more miserable you'd be? I don't like weather dictating things, and neither does the NFL. That's why the NFL has the Super Bowl played in pristine conditions as much as they can control with that. There's still going to be teams that have the outdoor stadiums. This is still going to be something to deal with, but you know, in 20 years, are we going to have every team in the league under a dome?
I think it's fun. To me, football's a game that's played in the elements. That's cold, that's snow, that's extreme heat, and during a football season, you have to deal with both. It's just part of the game, as far as I'm concerned. So, yeah, I enjoy watching those games. And if you can't handle the elements, you know, you're in the wrong sport, as far as I'm concerned.
I get both sides. I prefer optimal conditions, though, Gator, I do. But the real solution here is either all the cold weather teams have to go to a dome, or the Super Bowl has the possibility of being a cold weather venue. Because to me, otherwise, it does not make any sense when you're playing regular season games outdoors where weather can play a factor into the regular season, which helps decide playoff teams and seeding. But then all of a sudden, the final game, we can't have any weather conditions whatsoever when it played a role, or possibly played a role, the entire season. So I think you got to pick one side or the other. Kurt Warner hates it. He came out and said again, and he, if you know this already, I'm just repeating it, but he thinks weather conditions give the away team a completely unfair advantage, and players can't perform at their best because they have no way to prepare for that. So when you say level playing field, he doesn't even think it's level playing field just because they're both playing at the same time. One team's never seen it before, maybe, so he hates it. All right, last one, guys. Philly Mayor Cheryl Parker tried to lead the crowd with an Eagles chant to get them all fired up, but she misspelled Eagles. Instead, she yelled out, E-L-G-S-E-S. It's not even close, lady. Awesome. Anyways, what's the one word that you always misspell?
I have huge sympathy for Mayor Parker, because if I were the mayor of Philadelphia and I was hosting a pep rally and the NFL team was called the Philadelphia Necessaries, would have major problems. In fact, I come so far away from spelling necessary that sometimes the squiggly line doesn't even know what to suggest. They're like, we don't even know what you're going for,
bro. Wow. Look, I think we all have those words that are tough. The I before E except after C thing doesn't really work for me, because I always seem to find the one word that's exception. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's it. Why is it red? That doesn't seem to make any sense. The word egregious, I had to type it earlier today.
You did?
Yeah. Answering these questions, I'm looking for it, and I want to get some notes down. The word egregious came up, and I'm like, wait a minute, that's misspelled. How do you spell it? Oh, there it is. The word license, when I was a kid, up until the time I was like 22, I always misspelled the word license. So, yeah, there's still words out there.
I guarantee you, I will never be able to spell guarantee without spell check. I don't even, like you, Doug, I don't even try anymore. I just type in G, I don't even know it's A, U, or whatever, and then the T, and I just say, hey, spell check, take
I've
over.
Yep. Help me out. That's it. Help a brother out. And that concludes the Y9 Omaha 4-down around the league blitz thingy. There is nothing like the NFL playoffs, one big game after another. And you know what? Big games deserve bigger payouts. That's why FanDuel is giving all customers a same-game parlay profit boost every game day during the NFL playoffs. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. You'll score a bigger payout if your SGP hits. So don't just watch from the sidelines. Visit FanDuel.com/Doug to get in on the action. That's FanDuel.com/Doug to get a same-game parlay profit boost every game day during the NFL playoffs. FanDuel is the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Minimum 3-leg parlay required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including token expiration and maximum wager amount. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. You know, a couple of things I want to follow up on, and then a note that might impact us here in Detroit. The whole 20-game schedule thing with the NFL, I think so many decisions in sports now are made for the short-term money grab, to hell with the long-term ramifications. Like the short-term money grab of conference expansion in college athletics is to me so narrow-minded. And I think it's really watered down the conferences. I think it's very, very difficult in all sport, really. And it's not just a football decision. Football drives it, and obviously that's where the money comes from. But it waters down the football conference championships, maybe even more so than other sports, because you just can't play everybody once, let alone twice. In basketball, you get to play some teams twice. But it really big windfall right up front. But at what cost, when you start flying your crew team from Seattle, Washington to Iowa City, then to Bloomington, then back, and then the Rutgers crew team goes out to Eugene, and all this extra money they're spending on travel, let alone the wear and tear on the kids and the coaches. I mean, the fans can't afford those trips for football, you know, over and over again. And it's led to some fun matchups. I do like that, but I feel like that's a short-term money grab. To hell with the long-term consequences. And I think that's the same thing with the NFL. When they went to 17 games, which was the first step to get to 18, and as Kang said, and we saw it with the Lions, preseason football, as that goes away, regular season football will get more sloppy. And the Lions sat everybody in the preseason, and they weren't as good at the beginning of the year as they eventually grew to be before eroding. But it's just what people do now. How can I make a quick buck here? We'll sort out the rest later.
Well, the difference with the NFL and college is the NFL gets the agreement of all the players, too.
Well, that is true.
So that has to happen. And look, until the players decide that it's not working out for their best interest, it's going to happen. And I don't think they're going to go to 20. I think that's too many when you think about it. I mean, the college game, when, in our lifetime, we've seen basically, what, 11-game schedules now turn into potentially like a 17-game schedule. It's kind of crazy if you're able to get on a run now that they have this tournament. In the NFL, we've seen it go from 14 to 16 and now 17, and Roger Goodell says it's logical to be 18. I don't like it. I think it's too much, and I agree with you. And you start thinking about the season, how long that season goes into. I think there is a window for them to get things done, and it kind of cuts away at it even getting to 20, because to get to 20, you'd have to play regular season games in August, and I don't think the league wants to do that. And they sure don't want to keep going into well into January and have their championship game played at the end of February. I don't think they want to do that either. So they got this. They have the time frame right.
The other thing here is there is news out of Seattle, an interesting story today from a beat writer that covers that team by the name of Greg Bell, who wrote that he thinks there is some smoke that Seattle and Mike McDonald is laying the foundation to have co-offensive coordinators, that he wants to have a run game coordinator and a pass game coordinator. And that impacts us here in Detroit, because Hank Fraley went for his second interview in Seattle, the Lions offensive line coach, earlier this week. And Fraley would clearly be your run game coordinator if that's what they're trying to set up. Seattle did that before under Pete Carroll. I remember Darrell Bevell was pass game coordinator, but whoever his run game coordinator was. I always balk at how these setups work. And I wonder if you're Hank Fraley, is it worth it? He certainly would be well compensated as an O-line coach, and I guess adding the title would be the next step if he wants to be a head coach. But if you're the run game coordinator and there's a pass game coordinator, I've always wondered how that really works. Is the head coach say, we're going to run it here, we're going to pass it here, and then that coordinator calls the run or the pass?
I think it's a scam. I think when you do something like this, it's so that you can poach somebody else's coach, give them the coordinator title so that they can jump. But in the end,
he's just the O-line coach.
Yeah.
Be very careful, Hank Fraley. Be very careful.
Don't get played.
Don't get played here. Because he's really, really good. And he is very well respected and well liked by the Detroit Lions offensive line. I mean, those guys. What was the quote yesterday, Kang? Who said, I don't want to play for anybody else?
Frank Ragnow and Gio Manu. Both guys, after cleaning out locker day, both said, I don't want to play for another offensive line coach, man. They love that guy.
Yeah, I'm not.
And that's one veteran and one guy who just got here.
Right.
They both feel the same.
Let me be clear, too. I mean, because I think Carroll won a Super Bowl doing it. I'm not saying it can't have success. I'm saying, as a coach, is this really what you want? But
is it just a title?
Well, you have to be, Gator, you bring up a very good point. You have to be leery of it, but maybe just being a way to coax you away from Detroit to be the O-line coach in Seattle, where you will have some run game responsibilities. But are you really a quote-unquote coordinator? I don't know. That to me, I feel like if that's really the deal that's being offered to him, I'm not sure he'd take it. Either I'm the offensive coordinator or not.
Like, I don't know him at all, so I can't speak on whether he would take it or not. I just don't want to lose Hank Fraley. You know, whether he's the sole coordinator, the offensive coordinator there, or if he's a co-offensive coordinator, I don't want to lose him. And I think if they end up doing his co-offensive coordinator thing, I do think it's a little bit of a scam, and I don't like it. I don't like it one bit, Doug.
No, just something to keep in mind. Maybe, it's one writer's opinion of what he thinks might be being set up there by Mike McDonald in Seattle. So take it for what it's worth. 248-539-9797. All right, coming up next hour, let's get into the Pistons a little bit. That, my friends, was impressive. There have been, it just feels like they keep having statement wins. The Pistons keep making statement wins, keep earning statement wins. And you know, I don't know what the ceiling is right now, but it sure has been a fun watch as they've continued to climb up the ladder in the East. We'll get to the Pistons coming up today at 11:05 here on